In him was life, and that light was the light of man. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Testaments of your mercy. We are products of your grace. You have demonstrated your love by what you have made out of our lives. Thank you for the privilege of sonship. Thank you for the privilege of being called to an inheritance that is divine and incorruptible. We bless you, Lord. We gather together as a congregation and a family of faith. We honor, we adore, and we magnify your name. And today we ask that you glorify yourself in our midst. Let your word come forth with life and with power, capable to transform every life here present, to the end that we will give all glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Precious name we pray. Shout a big amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready tonight? Now, before we sit down to hear the word, I want us to pray some prayers just to get our hearts ready for what God will do. Amen. Please help me with the sound. I can't hear myself. Psalms 119 verses 130. I'm going to show you a scripture that I discovered this week. I didn't know that it existed in the Bible. And I want us to begin the prayers from there. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing but by everything. But in everything by prayer and supplication. That is the reason why everything that we do in the house of God is galvanized by prayer. Psalms 119 verses 130. I want to read that verse from the Message translation. It says, break open your words. Let the light shine out. Let ordinary people see the meaning. Let me read it again so we can understand, and then we'll pray. It says, break open your words. Let the light shine out. That means that every scripture that is written is actually a gate to a cluster of light. Are you here or you are at home? So behind every scripture, there is a release of light that you can encounter as a believer. And you will appreciate what light is if you understand the characteristic features of light. One of the things that light does is that it expels darkness. The darkness of ignorance, the darkness of fear, the darkness of evil. It is light. That is the only solution. Someone sent me a message this morning from America. She had a dream, and dog was pursuing her, and this and that and that, and dramatic dreams. As soon as I read the message, just one thing came to my mind. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's the end, though. No more prayer. And that is the reason why we need to interface with the light of the Word of God consistently. The light that you have may not be enough to dispel the darkness around you. If this whole place, if we're in the night and this whole place was dark, I hope you know a candlelight will not do much as far as illuminating this hall is concerned. Now, God wants you to always interface with the light that comes from His Word, so that you can grow in the capacity of brilliance and illumination until that darkness, that situation around your life is swallowed up by light. If you hear what I'm saying, say amen. So let me read it again. Message translation. It says, break open your words. Let the light shine out. Let ordinary people see the meaning. tonight you are going to ask the Lord that as your word comes forth, let me encounter light from your word, so that every form of simpleness and ordinariness in my life will be swallowed up by the wisdom and the power that is contained in your word. Are you ready to pray? I want you to raise your voice in 2 minutes and let us lift that as a prayer to God. Break open your words. Let light spring forth. I didn't say look at me, I said pray. Somebody who is tired of ignorance, somebody who is tired of limitation, somebody who is tired of oppression, somebody who is tired of being held in one spot. The solution, the answer, the antidote is the light from the word of God. Can you contend in prayers in just 2 minutes and say, Lord, let the light from your word shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth into my heart and through my life. Break open your words. Let the light that is inside of it shine forth. Lift your voice and pray. Let light shine from your word. Bring an end to ignorance in my life. Bring an end to every limitation that was placed because of inadequate knowledge. Every limitation that was placed because of inadequate understanding, insufficient understanding. Let the light from your word shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth, shine forth, shine forth, shine forth. In him was light, and the light was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Somebody pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me be very honest with us believers. The major problem that a lot of believers have in their life is the problem of limitation. If you know God well enough, you know that with God all things are possible. But there are pathways to experiencing these possibilities in your life. And anytime you are not seeing the goodness of God at work in your life, reduce the keyboard a little. Every time you are not seeing the goodness of God in your life, or you are not seeing certain things that have been programmed in Scripture as possible and available to the believer, it is because there is a limitation in your understanding. You walk with God based on your understanding. Outside of the place of understanding, you can't say you have a walk with God. So the knowledge and the understanding that you acquire time after time from the word of God is what determines your excelling in the things of God and your walking in dominion. And remember that this year is our year of dominion. You cannot experience dominion when there is a large portion of ignorance at work in your life. And that's why I pray for you today that God will help your heart to be attentive today to receive the understanding that will catapult you to your next level. I didn't hear your amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Second prayer point, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is a promise with conditions. If you are willing and obedient, if you are willing to be attentive, we are going to pray two prayers from there. I told you before that attention is the price you pay for wisdom. Attention is the price you pay to acquire understanding. If you are willing and obedient, for you to be here is because you mean business with your with God, you are interested in your work with God, and you are here to receive tools that the Word of God will supply that will make you excel in your work with God and live the victorious life of a believer. That's why you are here. So you can't be here and not pay attention. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking tonight because of the subject that we are going to dive into. Many people come to church, but after a whole year, you can't look at their lives and find the manifestation of the truths that they have learned. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2, it speaks of the manifestation of the truth. Not the proclamation, the manifestation. So you must be attentive to listen. To hear with understanding. That's listening. Hearing with understanding. Receiving the words in your heart. And then making a deliberate choice, regardless of the situations around you, that I must put to practice the things I've learned. He said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. He said, but if you refuse and rebel, what will happen? He said, you shall be devoured by the sword, not by God. Many people have blamed God and are almost victimizing God for their problems. God is not the reason for why you are going through what you are going through at all. From Genesis chapter 1, he finished all of creation. On the cross, Jesus hung. The last thing he said was, it is finished. So everything that is needed for life and godliness has been supplied. But it is captured in the Word of God. It is now your responsibility to give full attention. Submit yourself to the ministry of the Word and allow it to mentor you. At least give it 6 months. People can pay a lot of school fees, pay so much, and stay for years learning a particular course. But how many people have given at least 6 months to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to school them in the ways of God, that they will come out another version of themselves? How many people? And we must be angry with ignorance. In this case, I call it deliberate ignorance, because there is knowledge already. The Word of God is there. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3 verse 15, I will send pastors after my heart, that they will teach you in the way of knowledge and understanding. God has made pastors and men of God available. It is for us now to deliberately decide that I will take this ministry of the Word serious and apply it in my life. Let me see what the Word of God will make out of me. A man goes for 6 years, medical school. He comes out a medical doctor. Another one studies for 5 years, engineering. He comes out an engineer. If you give your life to the Word of God, what do you think will be the end version? There's one word, glory. That's the word. A glorious manifestation of sons. The next prayer point you are going to pray is, Lord, I rebuke and I reject every distraction in my mind and around me today. I must receive your word wholeheartedly in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Jahaparatake baharados reheteke porosotoy. No, allow them to pray. Let me hear. Lift your voice and pray. I refuse every distraction. I am willing and available tonight. I'm available tonight. I am available tonight. I decide to pay undivided attention to the ministry of the word. Paul said, now I commend you to the word of his grace that is able to build you up. The word of God is not an experiment. No, it is a reality. It is a practicality. It has been proven. The Bible says the word of God is tried 7 times and purified. It is left for you to give your heart, your mind, and decide to listen and receive that which the word of God will declare. Arada hasharata baragado soto rehete kebala rahata kasia jerebete hebarata gabala hate. In Jesus' name we pray. Still Isaiah 1 verse 19, last prayer point. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. That means if you decide to be willing and obedient, you will escape the devouring of the sword. The sword speaks of the situations of life that attempt to bring a disaster on our existence and attempt to deplete in our lives the promises of God in its manifestation. The first error of the first woman, Eve, was deception. She was deceived. She did not have complete and accurate knowledge of what God had said. But the error of Adam was that he rebelled. God told him, if you eat of the knowledge of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. He rebelled. He knew the truth, but he refused to put it to practice. We want to pray and shake off everything in us that makes us refuse to practice the word of God. Are you ready to pray? I hope you still love me after this prayer point, because some of you feel like I'm entering you. I'm just telling you, if you commit your life to full obedience of the word of God, the result is more predictable than the air that you breathe. I'm telling you, the word of God is not experimenting with us. It has been done and settled a long time ago. You just decide to allow God. Let's see what God will do with me. 6 months, 1 year. The Bible says of those that the seed was sown on good ground. It said that they received the word of God with joy. And then they bore fruit with patience. Hebrews 6:12 says, let us follow those who through faith and patience obtain the promise. The promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1:20, are in him, yea and amen. But if you are obedient, I want you to pray and say, Lord, I receive grace to be obedient. And I shake off anything in my life that has put me in a place of disobedience to your laws, to your commandments, and to your word before now. Lift your voice and pray. Pneumatic, I can't hear you pray. I can't hear you. Can you raise your voice and cry to him? Please make sure you are standing and you are praying. Marahata torozote zebrahataba. I receive the grace to be obedient. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Keep praying. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you highly lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you highly lifted up. And you're shining. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. The grace to be obedient. I make a commitment tonight to be obedient to your laws, to be obedient to the things that I'm hearing. Nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord. Oh, oh, there's nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord. Lift your voice and say, oh. Oh, nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you, Lord.
And we sing again, Lord. Oh, nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you, Lord.
There's nobody like you, Lord. Light to us, open up our understanding, change and transform us. Let us truly know that we encountered you tonight. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Clap your hands and take your seat. I said, clap your hands for the King of Kings. Clap your hands if you know you didn't borrow them. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord for tonight. Welcome to Pneumatech, and I trust that you will truly have an experience with the wisdom, the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You see, I can assure you that if you commit your life to growth in the Word of God, or growth by the Word of God, if you commit your life to the ministry of the Word of God as God's only tool for transformation, the end result will cause even you and the people around you to marvel. God is not scam. God is not a joke. Human beings can joke, not God. In fact, the Bible says that he has exalted his word above his name. And I know very well as a man of God that if you truly want to build people, it has to be by subjecting them thoroughly to the ministry of the word of God, not compromising the place of preaching and teaching the scriptures. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 19 that Paul gathered some disciples in the school of Tyrannus, for 3 months, and he kept teaching them the scriptures. Eventually, the Bible says he stayed there for more than a year, almost 2 years. And what was the end result? A mighty revival broke out in that nation. The Bible says in verse 11 and 12 that God performed strange miracles through the hands of Paul. The word of God taught them the technology of the Spirit. And they grew to a point where the handkerchiefs and aprons will be taken from the body of Paul. And it was a material that conducted power, that conducted the power of God. They saw the supernatural manifest in their lives. The word of God is the pathway to the experiences that the Spirit of God makes available for every believer. And we must be serious with the ministry of the word of God. I believe in the miraculous. I believe in the prophetic. We see all that happen here. But you see that we devote ample time, week in, week out. I have seen the end version of yourself by the grace of God. I have seen what you will become. That is why I will not compromise what I'm doing. Whether people come or not, even if next week I have just one person seated, I will continue. I have seen what the word of God has done to my life. You know, John said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, that which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, even the word of life. He said, the same we commit unto you. God will not call you as a preacher to teach what you have not experienced. No. You are the first experiment for what you will do. I've seen what the word of God can do. If only you can be patient, you're not wasting time. The devil will always come to this. Anytime vision has been clearly defined, that is when distraction comes in view. Every time you find distraction around your life, it is because you have clearly defined a vision. This is what I'm after. This is what I want to do. You're coming to this place. You're following this service online every week. It's a vision for your spiritual growth that you have clearly defined. And that's the reason why Satan will bring every kind of distraction to stop you from coming. I don't know about you, but even if I'm sick, I'd rather come and preach here first. Then we'll attend to the sickness later. Because I know that the Bible calls, it says in Proverbs chapter 4, that those who find the word of God, for them it will be life to their flesh and health to their bones. Are you hearing me? There are things that a time will come where there are certain things you will not need to pray about. Your understanding would have been perfected in the word of God. You will be like the word of God that the Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So when you and the word becomes one, your reality becomes settled in heaven, and then it will become on earth as it is in heaven. There is a zone that is free of demonic oppressions, demonic entanglement. It is the word of God that takes you there. It's not that the devil will not be existing at that time. It's just that the existence of the devil will be meaningless because of the amount of revelation that you command. People look at you and they see a human body, but in the spirit, what is moving is a cluster of light. You never know how much of a blessing you can be until you have paid the price to submit yourself to the ministry of the word. It is the word of God that created all things. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Everything has its definition in the word of God. Your life, your destiny can also have the same. And today what you hear will change your life. Can hear a better amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Financial dominion. That's the teaching that will begin tonight, and it will last us all through the month of September. Oh God, somebody's life will change.
Amen.
Somebody's life will change.
Amen.
I'm telling you, even if I just have 10 people here that will pay attention tonight and go and practice what they will hear, those 10 people will become financially free, and they will live in the reality of financial dominion. I'm telling you the truth. This is not chemistry manual or physics textbook. No. All those body of knowledge are finite, not the word of God. The Bible says the flower fades and the grass withers. But the word of God abides forever. At the end of the day, the number one solution to every mystery in this life is the word of God. So throughout this month, this is what we'll pound on. God must catapult you to a place of wealth. That situation of lack that seems to almost become a permanent resident in your life. You know, in other nations, there's something they give you. They call permanent residence. I hope you know, for those of you who are tenants, and for those of you who are landlord, there are some tenants that when they park into your house, they refuse to pay their rent and they don't want to park out. It's as if they become permanent residents. Some of you, lack and poverty has almost become a permanent resident in your life. You can't live a year without experiencing lack. Not after this series. I'm telling you, that poverty, that lack, it will live your life forever. So in a way, this is a deliverance service. I'm telling you. I myself, that is to share it, I'm as excited as you should be excited in receiving the word. Because what I want to share with you is not something I gathered from textbook. What I want to communicate to you are years of experiences in my life that I'm bringing to you. And if it has worked for me, if it has worked for the patriarchs of the faith, if it has worked for our fathers of old, it will work in your life. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Once and for all, you must believe after tonight that God never decided that you will end up in poverty. It was never God's will. There's nothing spiritual about poverty. Absolutely nothing. You know, there's a scripture that says the love of money is the root of evil. Is that true? Poverty is also a root of. Why do people steal? Why do people cheat? Why do people exchange sex for money? Why do people lie for gain? Okay. There's nothing spiritual about poverty. Even if God knows that prosperity will make you turn away from God, He will not make you prosper exceedingly, but at least He will make sure you are not broke. Because that's another extreme too. A man called Job, a day came when he lost everything he had. What did his wife tell him? Curse God. Are you ready tonight? Lay your hands on your head. Just 1 minute and say, Father, open my understanding. I know you have prayed, but I want your heart to truly be ready. I want your mind to truly be ready to receive. Lord, open my understanding. Some of you who have been trying to find a route around this financial prosperity thing, can you pray angrily and say, Lord, enough is enough. Tonight, let your word just bring the final solution. Open my understanding. In Jesus' name. Let's go to the word of God. Financial dominion. In bracket, the believer's heritage. The believer's heritage. Another word for heritage is what? Inheritance. The believer's heritage. In other words, the destiny of the believer. Part of it, inclusive in it, is financial dominion. 3 John verse 2. 3 John has only one chapter. It's a book with just one chapter. So let's run straight to verse 2. I think I have to use my Bible today. 3 John verse 2. So please permit me, I may be a bit slow. And we have a lot of scriptures to read today. The devil is a liar. Amen. The day that we have too many scriptures, that's the day the televisions are not working. The devil is a liar. Amen. 3 John verse 2. Behold, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I pray that you may prosper in how many things? Does it include money? Does it include finances? Even as your soul prospers. Psalms 36 verse 8. Psalms 36 verse 8. I hope you like scripture. We are people of the world in this house. Because today is an argument I came to make against the demon of poverty that is in the mind of many people. Are you hearing me? This one, what I'm doing today is project defense. So I will bring out all the scriptures so that at least you will believe forever that it was never God's will for you to be poor. Amen? And so this one is thesis that I'm doing. Psalms 36. As a matter of fact, I have cataloged more than 100 scriptures that talk about financial prosperity. More than 100 scriptures. Just preparing this message. Amen. 36 verse 8. He said, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. They are abundantly satisfied. Not only satisfied, they are abundantly satisfied. With what? The fullness of your house. Fullness means everything that you will need there to enjoy life is present. Is that true? Another scripture. Philippians 4:19. Many of us can quote that scripture. Should we quote it together? Can you do it? Alright, at the count of three, let's do it. 1, 2, 3. You see, the voices are low. That's why we have to do this teaching. We need to pound these scriptures into your head. You must know it. Every other thing has entered your brain minus the scripture. It must enter today in Jesus' name. It says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. So God is rich. How can you have a rich God and then you are poor? How can you be born of God and the Bible calls him a rich God? In fact, the Bible says riches and then you are poor. That error will be corrected tonight. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Tonight is thesis, so like I said, it's project defense I'm doing. By the time I'm through, I hope I would have been able to convince you and not to confuse you that financial dominion is your heritage. Your amen tells me you want to still be poor. When we are watching football, we shout. When we are watching soap operas, we shout. When we are watching BB Ninja, because I know you watch it, we shout. But when the word of God comes, you should shout louder. Are you hearing me? Do you know that receiving the word of God with joy alone is the first step to its manifestation in your life? You can't receive it sober as if they are feeding you agbo. You know agbo? For those of you listening from America and other parts, it's a kind of mixture. It's a concoction, a herbal concoction that they give people who have fever. You receive the word, just look with your face as though it's agbo that they are feeding you. Be excited. You hear what I said? In my opinion, maybe it's poverty that makes people not excited when they are hearing the word of God. Maybe. Because when the person has 6 zeros holding a meeting in his account, he will always be excited at everything. Is that true? Somebody say correct. Alright, let's go on. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was the grace? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Say after me, I reject poverty. I reject poverty. Over my life. Over my children. Over my children's children. Tonight, I'm signing my divorce papers with poverty in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you where the divorce papers are? That Bible you are holding in your hand, that's the divorce paper. Are you ready tonight? First of all, this lesson will be divided into three parts that we will examine. The first part is financial dominion as the believer's heritage. That's the first part of our lesson today. We are going to look at financial dominion as the believer's heritage. The second part is that we are going to look at the definition and evolution of money. We want to define what money is. And in defining it, we'll look at the evolution of money. How money evolved. What is money? Let's really understand. Because many of you think money is the currency that you are holding. I came to prove you wrong tonight. Then thirdly, we are going to define what poverty is. And the reason why we need to define poverty is because, you see, the first step to conquering an enemy or an adversary is to articulate or clearly define what you are facing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't know what you are facing or what you are fighting an invisible and definitely a lost battle. The reason why God used the word of God in creating the earth is so that everything that will exist perpetually will have its definition and its meaning from the word. When you define a thing, you've been able to access the boundaries, the limitation, the capacity of that thing. So these are the three parts of today's lesson. Next, before we go into the lesson proper, I need to explain to you the four levels of abundance that a human being can experience. The four levels of financial abundance that a human being can experience. There are about four levels. And we trust God that you will end up at the last one. Level number one is financial scarcity. Financial scarcity, which is also lack or bankruptcy. Absence of financial resources. That's the first level, financial scarcity. A human being can exist at that level where finances are a problem in the life of that individual. Level number two is financial dependence. Financial dependence. At this level, there is a limited availability of resources. A limited availability. Such that you don't have direct access to it. The kind of access you have is second hand or indirect access. This is the level where you have to depend on someone who has financial resources disposable to them to survive. That means that if that person leaves your life, or if that supply channel is cut off, you are going back to level one. Is that true? Financial dependence. Level number three is financial independence or financial freedom. In this level, you have direct access to supply or financial resources. Maybe you are working, so you earn a salary, or you are into business and money is coming. There is nothing restricting the flow at this level. There is nothing restricting the flow. You are not depending on anybody. You have a direct contact with the flow of financial resources. However, it is still limited. Even though at this level, it can take care of your basic needs and a little much more than your basic needs. But at this level, you still will be experiencing limitations. Which brings us to the fourth level, financial dominion. So number one, financial scarcity. Number two, financial dependence. Number three, financial independence or financial freedom. You often have heard when they say what it means to be financially free. And then number four, financial dominion. At this level, you have direct access to financial resources. The supply is unlimited and it is at your command. When you get to this level, you can retire anytime. You can retire at age 40. And what you have will be enough to sustain you for your lifetime and even transcend you to your children's and your children's children. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 13 verse 22 that a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. Have you thought about that scripture? Men, have you thought about it? I thought the Bible says a good man is a righteous man. Righteousness is good. Say a good man leaveth an inheritance. That means when you leave nothing for your children, you are a bad man. According to the word of God. Say amen to that. I love you, but I'm just telling you the word of God. According to the word of God, you are a bad man. You know, there's an African proverb that we have to discard this night. They say, horse born pikin, make it back rest. Eh? Have you not heard it? There's nothing like that, though. A good man, the scripture says, a good man leaveth an inheritance. At least leave enough to give them a good and a better start in life. Many of us came from poor and humble backgrounds. But by the grace of God and by your tenacity, God has brought you to a place where you are financially free. Some of you are financially independent. Some of you are financially dependent. It is God's desire that you transit into financial dominion. Amen. That your children's children will bless you because of the heritage you have left for them. That's what it means to be a parent. Not that blind proverb of horse born pikin, make him back. I'm not against taking care of your children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But truly, the horse does not rest after giving birth. Does he rest? In fact, if you study the horse, it is said that the horse sleeps a maximum of 3 hours in every 24 hours. Horse is a symbol for strength. So many of you, that your parents may have used that proverb to try to emotionally blackmail you to arise and cover the gaps for their failure. And I'm saying this respectfully. To cover the gaps for their failure. They know that they didn't give you all you were supposed to have. I went to visit a wealthy man and I entered the room of his son. His son is not up to 5 years old. And the computer I saw there, even me, I don't have it. I said, what is this doing in his room? He said, let him just use it. Let him own it, destroy it. Anything he wants to do, let him do. But let him grow up with the consciousness of ICT. With what they call Wi-Fi. In the room of a boy that is not up to 5 years. I placed a curse on poverty that day. Some of you didn't see a computer until you entered secondary school. In fact, the first 3 years, all you knew about a computer was, a computer is an electronic machine. That's all you know. You cram it and you pass your exams. But today, that story will change. I can't hear your amen. The devil is a liar. No. Reject that mentality. Reject it. It's a crime to walk, to live in abundance. It's a crime to have at least 3 bags of rice. Have it there so that if anything happens, you can give one to another person. Some of you have been privileged to visit wealthy people. And you will see them invite people, say, come, we're having a party in our house. Rice and stew, very plenty. You know you can't say that in your house. What is wrong in living in abundance? What is wrong? What is wrong? It will live your life forever. So these are the 4 levels of abundance that any human being can exist in. My prayer is that the 4th level will be our destination. In Jesus' name. What is financial dominion? Write this down. Financial dominion is the capacity Excuse me. Financial dominion is the capacity, in bracket, obtaining the necessary enlightenment and empowerment. Obtaining the necessary enlightenment and empowerment. Bracket open and close, as they say in an English class. Financial dominion is the capacity. Then you feel those words in bracket. Obtaining the necessary enlightenment and empowerment. Is the capacity to overcome lack, poverty, and all forms of financial depravity. To overcome lack, poverty, and all forms of financial depravity, and to enjoy an unlimited flow. To overcome lack, poverty, and all forms of financial depravity, and to enjoy an unlimited flow of financial resources usable for the fulfillment of divine purpose. Usable for the fulfillment of divine purpose. Let me go through it at once so we can catch up. Financial dominion is the capacity, in bracket, obtaining the necessary enlightenment and empowerment, to overcome lack, poverty, and all forms of financial depravity, and to enjoy an unlimited flow of financial resources usable for the fulfillment of divine purpose. Somebody say amen to that. To overcome lack, poverty, and all forms of financial depravity, and then to enjoy unlimited flow of financial resources. An unlimited flow, to enjoy it, and then to deploy that abundance for the fulfillment of divine purpose. How many of you believe that you cannot isolate money and finances from the fulfillment of your God-ordained purpose? If you don't believe, raise your hand. If you believe that without money you fulfill purpose, please raise your hand. And if I see one hand raised, the teaching has ended. It means that I probably am wrong. I have to go back and learn. Your coming here, was it by the anointing? It was money that brought you here. You did not catapult by the anointing and appear here. No. The reason why Stephen experienced that supernatural transport was because the eunuch was the only one with a chariot there. They were in a desert, and the eunuch was going to Ethiopia. Meanwhile, God had an assignment for him in another place. So since there is no other transportation means available, the spirit had to take him. If there was another chariot waiting, he would have entered and gone there. The reason why the hand of God came on Elijah and he outran the chariot of Ahab was because Elijah had already told Ahab, "Get thee up, hence, and eat, for I hear in my ears the sound." Ahab was on his way, so that there was no more chariot. Elijah was alone on the mountain. God will only deploy the supernatural when natural means have failed or are not existing. If there's a private jet, there's no need for Philip's anointing. In fact, do you know that the private jets they are making now, they are making it with, you know, using the model of the Concorde plane. How many of you know the Concorde plane? That plane that has supersonic speed. Speed that is up to 0.89 Mach. You don't know all these things. You better go and know it too. That's the sign you want to prosper. Oh yes. That's the sign you don't even know the future of a car. That means you didn't plan to buy the car. At least start from knowing it. So that the day the blessings come, you will not become money miserable. Somebody gives you a Mercedes Benz. What's that? Mercedes Benz now. Wow. GLK or G Wagon, and you just enter the car and close, and you are confused for 5 minutes. You are looking at everything. Or what's that Mercedes Benz that has a light all through? Maybach. All through the lights around. I mean, my God.
And you know, you can criticize, but by the time you begin to look at the features of these technological inventions, you will know that they were designed to make life easy. Now there are private jets that they make with that kind of speed. So you can travel a distance that should take you 8 hours. You can travel it in 4 hours. Imagine that from Nigeria you can be in any part of the world in maximum of 4 hours. That means you can, if you are a preacher, you can preach 3 services in one day. Yes. What did you think Jesus saw in his mind when he was talking to the disciples and he said, "Go ye into all the world"? Jesus, if you know very well, the ministry of Jesus was trapped and limited within the geographical location of the Palestine. If you have a world map, that place where Israel is so small that even the name Israel cannot be written on it. It's so tiny. And they asked one Jewish scientist recently. The Jewish scientist said that they thought that the promised land that God gave to them was that land in Palestine. That they discovered that that land was too small to be called the promised land. That the promised land that God has given them is their mind. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world." He never left that place, but he's saying, "Go ye into all the world." That means Jesus foresaw, he went beyond his time when the only transportation was horseback and boat. And he saw the future when there would be planes and flying cars. And say, "You use all of these things to ensure that the gospel reaches all the nations of the world." Is somebody getting blessed? I believe in financial dominion. I believe in it. You will use it when there is an unlimited flow. You will see how purpose can be fulfilled in a short time. In a short time. If your purpose is to give God 1 billion souls. If you are only preaching with your mouth. 40 years later, you will not have gotten to that 1 billion. Let me just tell you. But if you have 50 million to organize a mega city crusade, build a stage that is 100 feet by 100 feet, and have a place where millions of people can gather, that was what characterized Rehoboam's crusade. In one night, you can have 10,000 people saved, 20,000 people saved. A church that only holds Sunday service, how many years would they use to have that number? Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of blessed memory now. It was said that he was the only preacher in the whole world who used the popular Wembley Stadium, which at that time was the largest and the most expensive stadium. He used the Wembley Stadium for 89 days. Oh yes. You go and Google how much does it cost to rent an auditorium in the United Kingdom. Go and Google it. Not to talk of a stadium. For 89 days preaching. And you know, they don't do miracle in the service. He will just stand there and preach and then give altar call and people will come out. The resources needed for the fulfillment of your destiny by the power of prophecy. As we go through this series, I declare that the Holy Ghost will magnet it into your life. I declare that you will no longer be limited for lack of resources. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's go on. More scriptures. Proverbs 22 verse 3. Proverbs 22 verses 3. I have to run for time now. Proverbs 22. I want to show you some scriptures that will dazzle your mind. 22 verse 3. Sorry, 22 verse 2. He said, "The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them." Did he make them poor and rich? No. He made them human beings. It was by their understanding and their diligence that they separated themselves. One became rich. The other one became poor. That means if he's the God of the poor, he's also the God of the rich. Don't hate rich people because you are poor. No. they will still go to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why God did not give the ticket to salvation to be with the means of money. He brought it on the common ground that both the rich and the poor can access. Yet, to access salvation, in fact, to access the gospel message that brings salvation, it has to be with resources. More scriptures. Acts chapter 10 verse 34. Acts chapter 10 verse 34 and 35. Acts chapter 10 verse 34 and 35. Acts chapter 10 verse 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and walks righteousness is accepted by him." That means God is not a partial God. God is no respecter of persons. That's what he puts in King James. Another scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For whoever calls upon the Lord, the name of the Lord shall be saved." Okay, let's do from verse 12. From verse 12. New King James, please. He said, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." Now, these two scriptures we just read, or these three scriptures, tells us that God is a respecter of no person. That means the God we serve is not a racial God. It's not a God of prejudice. And because of that, his laws can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, and the results will be the same. He said the same Lord is rich over all that call upon his name. The same Lord over all is what? Rich. If we are able to access the laws in the kingdom that makes for financial dominion, it is workable in the United Kingdom. It is workable in Zimbabwe. It is workable in Sri Lanka. It is workable in Australia, in Jamaica, in the Caribbean, in the United States, in Nigeria. Regardless of economy, regardless of currency, the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. So the things that you are going to hear all through this series, don't go back and think that, okay, it will only work for people that are in the United States. No. It is applicable for anyone and in any place. And God will give you grace to obey. In the name of Jesus. More scripture, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. I told you that today is a day of scriptures. If all I do is scriptures, I'm okay. You'll be filled with enough knowledge to believe that financial dominion is your heritage. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. Do you like that sentence? Always having all sufficiency in all things. That means you have enough in every kind of resources. If it is money, you have enough. If it is car, you have enough. If it is house, you have enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why do you need sufficiency in all things? He says, so that you may have an abundance for every good work. Even God knows that to do his work, you need abundance. Psalm 16 verse 11. Thou will show them the path of life. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is abundance in God's presence. God is a God of abundance. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 to 10. Our God is a God of abundance. His kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. And he wants to extend that kingdom to the earth. In this manner, therefore, pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Through prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad." In Haggai chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He says, the silver and gold is mine, says the Lord. He says, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. For I will fill this house, this place, with peace, says the Lord of hosts. So the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of abundance. And God's desire is to extend whatever exists in his kingdom in heaven on earth. Do you believe that? In fact, in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 18 and 21, the Bible says that the streets are paved with gold. The city itself is made of pure gold. And the streets are made with gold. Why is God identifying himself with gold and silver? Gold and silver. God is simply telling you that I'm the originator of money. Anything you call abundance, as far as it is called abundance, it came from me. And if it came from God, it is because it is his desire that the atmosphere of his kingdom is characterized and coated with abundance. That is why believers on earth should not die poor. Say amen to that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and discover that I preach the gospel and I won so many souls for the kingdom. Righteousness, I was fine. I made heaven, but I discovered in heaven that my financial destiny was not lived up to its extent. I will not be happy, because all these Tesla cars and all these planes and all these things that you need to enjoy life and to preach the gospel, you don't have it in heaven. It's on earth you have it. There's no need for a car in heaven. The transport system of heaven is the world. In heaven, once you say it, you are there. In heaven, if you say Jerusalem, you are there already. That's the speed. It's only on earth you have car. I don't want to go to heaven and God will show me where you got everything correct, but financially you were supposed to be more than this. Can I go back? Can I just go for 2 years? Are you angry with me this night? Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Now let's go into the teaching. Let's start with the definition of money. Before we define money, let's look at the evolution of money. I want to give you these truths about money. First of all, realize that money is not any of the following. Money is not currency. Money is not credit cards. Money is not ATM or debit cards. Money is not checkbooks. Just establish that one in your heart first. All these things I listed is not money. Apostle, then what is money? Let's try to examine it from history. Let's look at the evolution of money. How money evolved from the primitive state to where it currently is now. The first level in the evolution of money was the era of hunters and the cavemen. The cavemen era. You remember that time when all they did was to hunt animals to eat? Alright? That was the earliest age. I guess that was before the Stone Age. Those of you who did a little history. Now, in that time, they didn't have currency notes. If you had given somebody of that time $2 or $10 or $100 note, it was useless to him. Is that true? Because it was not a system that was operational at that time. What was operational at that time was that men used energy and skills to hunt. Hunted animals to eat. Human existence that time was just on survival mode. So it was just to hunt animal that they will eat that day and then hunt for the next day. So that time, the money of that time was the energy and the skill that they deployed in hunting. Because if a man is sick and he cannot hunt for his family, another person can hunt for him. That person has hard work energy deployed and the skill to set traps and hunt. So that when this one that was sick is finally up, he too will go and put those things to work and then hunt for the other person to be able to pay up his debt. The next era was the famine and agrarian era. Men now went beyond hunting animals. They discovered that the earth, the soil, was rich in nutrients. It could yield produce. So people began to plant. And then get produce, agricultural produce from the earth. At that time, the money was either if you had ownership of lands or you had a large family that can farm for you. You know, the larger the hands on the farm, the larger the harvest. Is that true? That was what informed polygamy. So polygamy at that time was not because of love or because of responsibility. If I marry two wives, I have many sons that can go to farm for me. And it's sad that some people are still living in that age today. In the name of religion. Another system of money during that period was slave trade. Okay, I have slaves, I can sell them to you. Then in exchange, they now introduce what they call trade by barter. Because you know, money for them that time was using what you have to get what you want. So if I have slaves, people that are ready to work in your plantation, whether by force or by will, when I give them to you, you have the land, use them to cultivate the land. When you get your harvest, you give me my own share. So it was the agrarian age that gave birth to trade by barter. And that was the system of money at that time. Well, it had its limitations. One of the limitations was logistics. Sometimes it is difficult to see somebody that has what you want. Some other times it is difficult for you to give what someone else wants. That was a problem of logistics in that age. Another problem was mobility. Okay, now you have the farm product. Transporting it was a problem. Another problem was storage. They didn't have equipment to store it, so the farm produce could last for a short time. Which leads us to the third stage of evolution of money. We now enter the industrial age. The industrial age was when mineral resources were discovered in the earth. That was when mining and all of these things came into being, where they mine mineral resources from under the earth so that produce can become product. You know, in the agrarian age, it was produce. You plant and harvest produce. But in the industrial age, they saw that with machines, with equipment, you can convert produce to products. So tomatoes can be converted to tomato paste and sold back to the person who harvested the tomatoes at a higher rate. Is that not what's happening with our crude oil in Nigeria? Under that age, the system of money was either the school system, which now you send people to be trained to understand how to use these machines and then go into industrialization. So a nation can send their citizens to go to another nation to school, and when they send them back, they will come and work as a way of paying for their schooling. Another system of money was job and salary system, which is what I call modern day slavery. So now industrialization has manufactured and produced jobs. So somebody can wear tie and white shirt and is working in a place and they are paying him money. And they promise to pay him for as long as he works there. And at the end of his service, they will give him pension every month. That is not different from the slave trade that happened in the agrarian age. It's just that in the agrarian age, they use handcuffs to catch the slave. In the industrial age, they use golden cuffs and tie. When you wear that tie, does it not choke your neck? That's modern day slavery. Somebody would understand it or knows what I'm talking about. So somebody will tie his potentials, is working in a place, earning money, They are paying him for deploying energy and skill. But you find out what he's doing for that organization is more than the money that is coming. So he works there till 60 years. Even when he's sick, he must go to work. His only church he will not come to. But if he's sick, he'll go there because he knows they will remove from his salary. We evolved from that era to the technology and information age. This is the age of e-commerce and the use of cards and e-money. Now, at the third era, the third stage of evolution, which was the industrial era, it was then, after the First World War, particularly after the First World War, that nations, world leaders came together and decided to use paper currency. Before that time, they used gold and silver and precious metals for the exchange of value. But later on, world leaders came together and decided, okay, let's have paper. Let's use paper as a promissory means. You know what a promise is? If I tell you I'm going to do something for you, there is something, a commitment that I need to make to you as a sign that this thing that I promised you, I will do it. For instance, if I want to buy shoes from Bishop, if he sells shoes, and I don't have the full money to buy the shoes, I will drop what they call a deposit, a down payment, isn't it? That's paper, that's currency. As a promise to him that I'm coming back to make the full payment for the exchange of the value of that shoe. So currency was introduced as a promissory note, not as the main format for the exchange of value. It was gold and those precious metals. So they say, okay, let's have currency to represent it. At the end of the day, the strength of the currency will still fall back to the value that that gold or that precious metal or that natural resource has. Is that true? That is the reason why we still have the problem of exchange rate in our economies. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then we move to technology age. It evolved from currency to e-transactions. Now you can transfer online. Bitcoin. One imaginary coin is there that people are killing themselves to buy. Is that true? Can I tell you something? There will still be another evolution. Very soon it will evolve to a point where microchips are used in the hands and the brains of people. In fact, it has already begun. A few months ago, Elon Musk's company, they did the first test experiment. Go and do the research. They did the first experiment of using a computer chip in the brain of a man. That means that very soon, you will not need to transact with your phone. With your head, you can stay and perform transactions. You can place your hand on something and you have paid. I hope you will say Antichrist has come by that time. This is evolution. So you now see that what will you really call money? Since there has been an evolution from one stage to the other. And now we are already getting to that place and some people are stealing money from their government and stacking it as cash in their house. A president was recently, a president of an African country, when they arrested him in a coup, they saw millions, over $130 million cash in his house. You know, that kind of stealing is informed by poverty too, actually. Because if he thinks that paper note is money, will that money be relevant 10, 20 years from now when computer chips are now used in the hands of people? Now, even the paper man knows transfer. You can transfer to him. Yes or no? So what truly is money? The reason is because if you don't know what money is, you will be poor. You will work yourself out for paper notes, not understanding what the true money is really is. And my advice for every parent is in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. The training is in the next verse. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Teach your children financial intelligence, parents. That's your morning devotion that every day you are doing. It's only about God and righteousness. Can you add an evening devotion to it? And this time it is financial intelligence you are teaching them. In fact, I believe it is safe. The only thing that is that you put your limitations and boundaries. But it is safe from small for your child to understand financial intelligence and ICT. Because that's where the whole world is now. Somebody said the whole world is now a global village and the internet is the village square. Buy phone for them. Let them be playing with it. If they can't use it, let them play game there. Let them grow with that understanding so that the child will not grow. Or because the reason why some people will sit down and pray for miracle jobs when God has invested in them something that they can exchange for value, something that they can give for what they need, is because he doesn't have understanding of financial intelligence. He feels that money is paper. That's why he's waiting for a job. Do you know that you can buy a house without money? There are many means of... I attended a conference in 2015, a national summit they held in International Conference Center, and they brought an expert. You know, all of them were experts there. Financial experts globally. And one of them said something that blew my head. She came to talk on entrepreneurship. She said that money is not the only capital you need to start a business. That in the business world, there are 12 kinds of capitals. Money is one of it. I went to the bathroom. You don't believe me? Let me give you an example. Just listen to this imaginary story. Bishop, can you come? Please, sir. Brother Anjuma, please come. Esther, please come. Quickly. My time is almost up. If you don't believe what I'm saying, that currency, paper note, is not money, then look at this story. This is this is my son, for instance, in this story. I'm a father. This is my son. This is Bill Gates. This is a young lady who is not married. Look at this story. Son, I want you to get married to a lady of my choice. And then he says, no, I will marry a lady of my own choice. Then I tell him, but the lady I want you to marry is the daughter of Bill Gates. What do you think he will say?
Yes, sir.
Wait. Then I go to Bill Gates. I say, sir, I want... Or is it Jeff Bezos who we use now? Let's use Jeff Bezos. I believe... who is the richest now? Is it Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos? Those guys, I don't know. They are just... It's between them. Elon Musk, right? Then this is Elon Musk. This is his daughter. Huh? And I come and say, sir, I want your daughter to marry my son. He said, but my daughter is too young for marriage now. I said, but my son is the next to be vice president of the World Bank. What do you think he will say?
Yes, sir.
Is this guy a vice president of the World Bank? The moral of the story is, because he will marry the daughter to the richest man in the world, I need another meal quickly. Ken, please come. Because he will be married to the daughter of the richest man in the world, this is now the president of the World Bank. I can approach the president of the World Bank and say, I want my son to be your next vice president. He said, but I have too many candidates to choose as a vice president. I said, but my son is married to Jeff Bezos' daughter. What do you think would be his answer?
Yes, sir.
Go and sit down. Thank you. Now, what is money? Number one, Money is any medium of exchange. Any medium of exchange. Anything you can use to get what you want is money. Even though there is a positive and a negative side to that. The negative side is a lady can use her body for sex to get money. An armed robber can use weapons. But we are not focusing on that. We are looking at the positive side of it. Number two. So in number one, rather than us thinking of how to get money, we need to think of how to use money to get what you want. Number two, money is a reward for solving problems. Money is a reward for solving problems. The world is filled with problems. If you are able to discern a problem and profess solution, you'll be rewarded for it. Solve small problem, you get small money. Solve medium problem, you get medium money. Solve big problem, you get big money. Solve national problem, you get what? Solve global problem, you get what? Nobody will pay you for discovering a problem. They will only pay you when you are able to solve it. Number three. So you must become a problem solver if you want to make money. You must become a solution provider. So if you are lacking money or you are impoverished in poverty, you need to ask yourself, when was the last time I solved a problem? I know some of us, the forces of poverty right now is contending with this knowledge in your mind. It's bouncing back. But let me tell you, I prayed before coming here. Whether you like it or not, it will enter by force. It will come out from that laziness. Number three, money is a reward for needed value. Needed value. A time will come when your host community around you, your generation around you, recognizes your value. And then you will be rewarded. That means that your value has been translated into a system that is always in use as far as human existence is concerned. And because of that, money will keep coming again and again. One of our presidents in this country, one of his achievements was that he brought MTN into Nigeria. And every time you recharge, a percentage is going to him. He was president many years ago, but till today he's still eating from it. Value. What is poverty? Be speaking in tongues in your mind as I write, you know. Poverty is the opposite of prosperity, riches and wealth, number one. The opposite of prosperity, riches and wealth. Number two, the absence of financial resources. The absence of financial resources. Number three, the inadequate financial intelligence. That's money. Inadequate financial intelligence. That means the absence of the knowledge that guarantees productivity. Number four, ignorance of exchange value capacity. That's poverty. Ignorance of exchange value capacity. What does that mean? Simply, when the person does not know that he has something that he can exchange for what he wants. Yes. When somebody with good ICT skills is looking for job in a factory, is that not poverty? Because he doesn't know that he possesses capacity to create job for himself. Ignorance of exchange value capacity. And you need to look at yourself. You will discover that there is nobody here that doesn't have something to give. Do you know that even your smile can be exchanged for something? Number five, a state of lack and hardship. A state of lack and hardship. That's poverty. A state of lack and hardship. According to UN statistics, living below $2 a day is poverty. Living below $1 a day is extreme poverty. According to 2023 poverty index rate that I studied recently, we have close to 800 million people who are poor, who are living in extreme poverty. We have 1.4 billion of the world's population that are living in abject poverty. 11 to 18% of them are children. There's no time. I could give you all of these facts. Number six, poverty is a mindset, a mentality, or a paradigm. It's a mindset. The person thinks he's poor because he doesn't have paper notes or he doesn't have electronic money in his account. That's why he is poor. It's a mindset. So the person can have a 100 by 100 property, land somewhere, and still be crying for money. It's a mindset. In fact, the Bible says the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. The reason why people keep borrowing is because they feel they will never have enough on their own to live by. It's a mindset. The reason why a poor man can do anything or even compromise because of paper is a mindset. But you are shaking up that mindset today. In the name of Jesus. Number seven, poverty is a stronghold. A stronghold is a spiritually reinforced mindset. A spiritually reinforced mindset. So it's a mindset you have that you don't have enough. You always will need from people. Now the devil comes with spiritual forces to reinforce that mindset. That's why those kind of people, no matter how much you give them, they will always be broke. Have you seen those kind of people before? They don't know what they use their money to. Is a lie. You use the money to do something. It's just that you already have a mindset that you will never have enough. So Satan came with demonic forces to strengthen it. It now became a stronghold. But do you know one interesting thing about a stronghold? A stronghold is a high fence, isn't it? Built to secure the perimeter of a building. There are many ways to bring down that fence. You can either use mullet and keep hitting it for how many days before it will fall. That's a way. Or you can bring a bulldozer and take some hours and bulldoze it. That's another way. Or you can bring explosive, plant it around there, and in less than 2 minutes, the whole thing goes down. All now understanding. So when we talk about strongholds, battles, all these things, you see that it is even with intelligence, spiritual intelligence, that you can combat the challenges around you. Number eight, poverty is Satan's weapon for oppression, destruction, and compromise in these last days. Believe it, oh. Many people deny Jesus because of poverty. Believe it. So it is a weapon for oppression, destruction, and compromise in the last days. Number nine, poverty is a curse. But the Bible declares that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. God told Adam, he said, cursed be the ground for your sake. He said, you will labor in it, you will toil on it, but it will only produce thistles and thorns. It's a curse. Much labor, less profit. But today, that reproach will die from somebody's life. I have a lot to say here, but I think we should round up. I wanted to give you dimensions of poverty and reasons why you must attain financial dominion. But I think we should stop here. Are the bosses here? Let's stop here. We'll continue next week. Amen? We're supposed to do the part two next week. 21 laws for financial dominion. Maybe we'll shift that to the other week. So we'll not rush. We'll just stop here. Alright? So next week's message is a continuation of part 1. Today is part 1, section 1. Next week is part 2, section 2. Are you blessed? Amen. This teaching is going to be very rich. When we move from the laws of financial dominion, we will enter into, I will give you secrets from the richest man that ever lived, biblical secrets. And then after that, we'll round it up with the warfare dimension of wealth. You must prosper. Tell your neighbor, I must prosper. With the things that I have heard, my life is provoked to experience financial dominion. Stand up on your feet with a loud shout of praise. Amen. Lift your voice and bless the Lord for what you've heard tonight. Blessed be your name. Open your mouth and bless the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Stretch your two hands. I want to pray for you. That in the name of Jesus Christ, every force of ignorance around your finances, around your financial life, by reason of this series, let those forces crumble never to arise. In the name of Jesus Christ, every darkness of confusion around your finances, by reason of this series, it comes to an end. I declare that light is shining in the darkness around your finances. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every stronghold that the enemy has built around your mind, maybe because of the background you came from in your family, maybe because of a generational mindset. 2 years ago, I talked about generational curses versus generational mindset. Some things that some people face is not a generational curse. It's just a mindset that was transmitted from one generation to the other. Your grandfather was a polygamist. Your father is a polygamist. It's the same mindset that is looking like a curse. Some people came from bloodlines or family backgrounds where they don't believe in abundance. And that mindset has trailed you for 10 generations. But by the power of revelation and by the power of the blood of Jesus that has redeemed us from curses, I declare that stronghold falls from your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. By reason of this series, prophetically, let men and women be shifted to their God-ordained places of wealth. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. That financial heritage that is yours in the kingdom, by reason of what you will hear in this series, be catapulted to that place. Be enthroned in that place of financial dominion. In the name of Jesus. Repeat after me, from today. Lack, poverty has no hold over my life. I declare that I am possessed with the power and the wisdom to make wealth, to get wealth. I declare that my life must be a blessing. I move from being a beggar to being a giver. From today, because of this series, I choose to become a financial partner in the kingdom of heaven. I take my place among God's end time warriors, among God's end time financiers. It is my heritage. It is my right. And from today, I walk in that reality.
In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. Now before we go, I want to give an opportunity for those who need to be born again, who need to make Jesus the Lord of their lives and their Savior. Please, no movement, just pay attention. I know we've spoken a bit about financial dominion, but one of the things I will show you next week is that one of the dimensions of poverty is what I call spiritual poverty. That is not just lack of resources. That is lack of the knowledge that makes for eternal salvation. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? You came here tonight so that you can be reconnected to your Maker. That is the reason why you came. That will be your miracle. If you are here and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want Him to be your Lord and your Savior, or you want to rededicate your life to Christ, you were once born again, but you don't really know what your life really is now with God. You want to be sure of your salvation. Or you are struggling with an addiction, you want God to set you free. Any of these categories, I want you to raise your right hand to the heavens so I can see you. I will pray for you. God bless you. I'm seeing a hand. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, lift that hand up. Lift that hand up. God bless you. I want to secure my eternal salvation first before we even talk about finances. God bless you. Raise your right hand very well. Now, if your hand is raised up, please rush to the front. I'll pray with you right now. Pneumatic, give them a thunderous applause inside and outside. Give them a thunderous applause as they come. You have to celebrate God for souls. You have to be happy that souls are won every day into the kingdom. Hell is being depopulated, and the kingdom of heaven is populated. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep coming out. God bless you. Stretch your hands towards them. Stretch your hands towards them. Let's pray for them. Those of you in front, put your right hand on your chest and repeat after me. Make sure they are standing on a straight line, please. Put your right hand on your chest. Repeat after me. In the congregation, stretch your hands towards them and pray for them. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I surrender my life to you. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. I receive you today into my life as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Father, I stretch my hands towards them and I declare by the authority of Scripture that their sins are forgiven. We declare them born again. We declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, death, and the grave is broken over their life. We declare that the power of generational curses, ancestral yokes are broken. The power of witchcraft is broken over their lives. We declare that the seal of your Spirit will rest upon them. They will serve you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.